This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
I hit it hard, man.
And good morning. Welcome in, Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Great to be back in Houston with Charlie Epps. I am stuffed full of barbecue still. I'm pretty sure I gained some weight on the trip back home, which is just fine. And then I walk in today, Charlie, and I don't know, did you change the thermostat in the last week? It is an icebox.
Icebox
in here. You didn't give me the memo. You're wearing long sleeve shirt. You're wearing pants.
That's
well,
right.
Pants is a good thing. Let's say jeans.
Not shorts.
Yeah.
But, well, it's good to have you back. You did a little drive through middle America. See anything that you shouldn't have? Or
No, it was not scenic, really. I mean, I went southern Kansas into middle nowhere Oklahoma and then through Dallas and right back here to Houston. So good to be back in Houston. And with all of that, I mean, this is it for golf, final weekend of the year.
Thank God.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that because you sent me a text yesterday. Yeah. You sent one to Bill as well about you just being happy that the PGA Tour season is over.
Over. I mean, there's been so much hype. We've been doing this, doing that. I need some relief. I want to see somebody get tackled.
Football is back. College football tonight.
That's it.
Florida and Miami.
Baseball's going good.
Baseball is going strong. We're almost on the home stretch of the baseball season as well. Almost into September. Labor Day weekend next weekend, believe it or not.
Labor Day.
And next week we'll have some fun, too. We'll go back and take a look at some of the moments from this 2019 golf season.
2018-19.
Yeah.
The wraparound.
Nothing really happened in 2018 as much, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, to me, it started with Tiger and the Masters. Let's move forward from there.
Tiger and the Tour Championship.
Which he didn't even qualify for this time around.
Interesting.
So we're going to talk plenty about that next week, but we will start off with the Tour Championship going on this weekend. This whole thing is confusing to me, and if it's confusing to me, it's way too confusing for the average golf fan, which I consider myself to be a casual observer at times. Now, I pay more attention to it now since we've been having fun doing this show together, and I've learned a lot from both you and Bill, I got some questions about this format. This is the FedEx Cup final, essentially, going on right now.
For $15 million. That's the only thing that's important.
$15 million. Dollars on the line. What a leaderboard. We'll look at that. Bill Harmon's going to join us. We'll find out why Charlie even more is glad the PGA Tour season is over. And college golf. We'll mix that in very briefly as well. Just getting started. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
All right, I'm excited to bring in Bill Harmon. Well, we're always excited, but especially this time because we've been going back and forth via text for the last 10 or 15 minutes before the start of the show, Charlie, trying to figure out this. At least I'm trying to figure it out. And you guys are explaining a little bit more. And this is, to me, the exact example why I don't like the whole FedEx Cup playoff system. Bill Harmon joins us now on the phone. Bill, good morning.
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Good. Great to be back. Great to be back on with you guys.
We're sitting here freezing in studio. We don't know where the thermostat is. But other than that, Alex looks good coming off of his vacation, but he's kind of confused on the FedEx Cup, and because it's, you know, they keep tweaking it every year. It's always the same, but basically, Bill, they just didn't want to have a FedEx Cup winner and a Tour Championship winner, so they devised a handicap system that would reward success through the year. At the end of the year, you add up all the points, and if you're number one, you're 10 under par, and then it gradually goes down from there. So I don't think it's a bad system, but I don't like it.
Well, I think the whole thing is, you know, is we're still trying to figure it out. And I think that's – but having said all that, check that leaderboard out, boys. It couldn't get much better than it is. So I understand that. I think you probably should figure out a way to reward guys, Charlie, that played well all year. than to reward a guy just for winning the last tournament. And I say that because my guy Bill Haas really was somebody who did that. I think he came in 23rd.
Yes.
You know, all year, and he won the Tour Championship, and he won the Tour Championship and the FedEx. So I think they're trying to tweak it, but I do agree that the problem is that none of us really understand it, and so we're watching, and you and I have been in the game our whole lives, and we're still kind of perplexed by it, so I can't imagine what the casual fan is thinking. But as of right now, this moment, it's a golf tournament, and Koepka's 13 under, and Thomas is 12, and McIlroy's 12, and how they started on Thursday, really, I don't think anybody cares now, because I think the leaderboard, I think they got a hell of a break, really. This leaderboard is really, really good.
Brooks Koepka, as you said, atop the leaderboard, 13 under, then Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, 12 under, Xander Schauffele there at 11 under, and it's just interesting to me because the player that goes out and has the lowest score of the weekend, right, lowest 72-hole score.
Get it out. It's not going to work.
I understand, but I'm just saying that golfer isn't going to necessarily win this event, win the tournament.
Trying to win, and he's...
Yeah. But as you look at the scoreboard now, you're really not even aware of what the handicap was on Thursday.
Exactly right.
You know, Koepka said something interesting. He said, it's not that big a deal. If you play in the late tee times on Thursday, you get to the course and somebody's already 8 under par. you're 8 shots behind and you're warming up. Not that that's the same thing, but he was saying, as players, they deal with that every Thursday if they're on the late draw, that they might get to the course and some guy's already 10 under par, So I think once we got past the first round, which was kind of the where everybody was a little confused. Now we have a golf tournament. I don't even know who is given the most handicap and this and that right now. All I know is at this point forward, this leaderboard is pretty good. So maybe, just maybe, they got it right because they gave the best players a little bit of advantage. And what do we have now? The best players on top of the leaderboard. So I don't know what the perfect system is. I want to say take the top 32 and let them play match play, but what if the 32 second guy beats the first guy and this guy's played good for 11 months and this guy played good for a week, So I don't really know, Charlie, the majors are one event. Low score win. So I think it's hard, as we're looking at it, it's hard to have a playoff system, I guess, in golf and make it equitable.
And the PGA Tours, they want to infuse money into the pockets of their the employees, if you will. And FedEx has gotten a lot of exposure for its brand all year long. They seem very happy every week talking about FedEx, and then on Sunday, some lucky guy is going to go away with $15 million, but that it's not official money. I'm not sure why they're doing that. Do you, Bill?
Oh, I don't think that makes any difference to them. I would imagine the guy who, I don't know, I don't think that ever, I never heard Bill Haas complain about the $10 million he made because it wasn't put on the... So I don't know. I think that these guys make enough money, whether it's official or unofficial. But, $15 million is a lot. I don't care what you say. And that's a pretty big prize. And, what I think is we don't have a perfect system for this yet. And once again, we're kind of going with the unintended consequences too, Charlie, of having the major every month and this and that. We've talked about this the last few weeks on the show. The lesser tournaments are kind of suffering, but, maybe they're going to have to tweak that at some point. But it sounds to me that they wanted the golf over before football came onto the scene so they could keep the spotlight on the PGA Tour. And I can't blame them for trying to do that. It's kind of hard to compete with college football and the NFL on Saturday and Sunday, I would think.
Yeah, I'm glad it's over with. I need some relief. we've been, going hard since the Masters, and it's our business. And sure, we enjoy, the Tiger Woods doing what he did, and the the excellence of all the players, and now we're going to shut it down. And probably in 2 weeks, I'm going to say, "Hey, where's the tournament?" You know, but that'll come in the fall, the new fall season, which the second tournament is going to be the new Houston Open, and that's going on quite well. The Houston Open people, although they're pretty close to the vest, they've changed their golf course, Bill, really quite drastically. Memorial Park was a good piece of land, but now they really added some features that's, I think, going to be very exciting for the Houston Open in 2020 at Memorial Park.
Well, but they're playing now at the Country Club of Houston the first year, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
The old Redstone course?
Yeah, Golf Club of Houston, and it's really in fine shape. The summer has been good to the grasses, and the superintendent out there has just done a wonderful job. So the guys coming in to Houston on October 6th will be treated to hopefully a great golf course and a great championship.
Who's the tournament going to honor that week?
You know, it was announced the other day. I think it's a guy
a guy named Harmon, isn't it?
That you know. And Butch, who had some time here in Houston, but he works, over in Floridian. The Floridian has a golf school over there, and they're using his position in the game along with Brooks Koepka to recruit a good field. Butch can put his arm on somebody and say, "Come on and get some guys that might not show up." So. But it'll be nice. You coming in for it, Bill?
You know, I don't know yet, Charlie. I haven't made that decision. I actually would like to be there because I love Houston and have a lot of great memories there. So it would be nice to go. But I'm just happy that Houston has retained a tour event. It's a great golf city and got a great history there. So I'm just very happy that Jim Crane has stepped in and done his magic. It seems like whatever Jim touches, it turns out pretty good. Not because he's lucky, but because he's brilliant and good. So I'm just very happy for the Houston community that the Houston Open will be still on the PGA Tour schedule.
And can you imagine Bill in studio with us? That would be something.
Yeah, that would really
be
good.
See you two go head-to-head in studio.
That's something. Yeah, that'd be nice.
But, you know, Mr. Crane is a man of vision, and all of this basically is to fund the Houston Foundation, the Astros Foundation, that will really benefit all the city parks for the kids and the kids of Houston. So that's the end result is really neat.
Yeah, it should be a great week.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. By the way, tee times for the Tour Championship this afternoon. 3:20 will be Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka. 3:10 will be Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy. All right, coming up next here on the show, we'll take a look at the college side of golf just a little bit, and also the driving distance actually down across all the tours this year. We'll take a look at that as well here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
And the Charlie Epps Golf Hour is made possible by our friends over at Insperity.
Insperity, they have had just one heck of a year. Their business is growing because they're helping small businesses, and their phone is ringing and people are calling and getting their expertise on government regulations, all of that kind of stuff that you've really got to monitor, and you get advantage of benefits of scales of economy and on insurance. So there's just so many different reasons why if you're your business is yours. It's either a mom-pop business or something that's you got 10, 15 employees or 20 employees. Give Insperity a call, and they can tell you what they can Kate can do to your business and help you along, so that usually it's the owner of the business is the guy or the gal that sells what they're doing. So you don't want to be stuck on, you know, back in the back and doing paperwork. So give my friends at Sperity a call. They're wonderful, established in 1986. They've grown to 3,000 employees, and they're all over the United States. So in Sperity, log on, and you'll be very happy.
All right, so I saw just the other day the 2019 golf preseason poll for college already came out.
Okay.
You see that? Texas.
Yes.
Number one after being runner-up this past year at the NCAA tournament.
Yes, yes. They got the number one player in the country, Cole Hammer. Cole, it's misfortunate he didn't get into the amateur. They got two twins, Bill, that were Charlie Cootie's grandsons, really out of Abilene. So they've got a good squad coming back.
Yeah, they do. Boy, and the Cootie kids, you know, they played well in the U.S. Amateur at Pinehurst, and obviously very good players. You know, college golf is these kids are so good nowadays, and it's kind of, you know, if you look at what Victor Hovland has done and Matthew Wolf and Colin, these kids are coming out incredibly ready to play. They play in a lot of medal play tournaments. They're playing high-end golf. It seems like, Charlie, if they qualify for the Open or play in the Masters, they always make the cut and perform very well. So I would say that the future of golf and the quality of play in the game of golf is at an incredibly high level as we speak.
Arizona State, second in the preseason poll. Georgia Tech, third. Okie State, there, four. And Vanderbilt, five, rounding out the top five. And it's interesting. Arizona State and Georgia Tech didn't even make the NCAA tournament this past year.
Yeah, that's a little controversial. But that's fine. But I think the result of great college coaches that came up through the ranks that were in good programs, that played at UCLA, played at Stanford, or now the guys that don't make the tour, their second love is coaching, and the quality of coaching. Sam Houston State here in Houston, north of Houston, produced two guys that played in the U.S. Amateur, and the one kid, Wim Holcomb, he said, "Yeah, but I'd rather really be duck hunting." playing the, you know, semifinals of the U.S. Amateur, and the golf was pretty darn good, Bill. I liked Pinehurst. Did you get to watch most of it?
I watched quite a bit of it. I watched the final match. Was terrific. Once again, it's hard to believe how far these guys hit the ball. You know, the ball was running pretty good there, but still in the finals on the 16th hole, which was a 540-yard par four, the guy hit a driving seven iron over the green. And
yep.
On the 15th hole, it was a 210-yard par three, I believe, and they were hitting seven irons. So, you know, that kind of segues into what Alex was talking about. Driving distance, I guess, has gone down a couple yards on the average across the tours. But, you know, we don't really know. I think conditions might play into that, Alex. You know, there could have been some tournaments where there was a lot of rain, soft conditions. I don't know if I would put too much credence into that, to be honest with you, because every week the courses change. Sometimes they're dry, the ball's running. You might have a week where the, you know, it was soft and the ball was not running. So even at Medina last week, you know, they had all that rain, and so the course, the ball wasn't running. And so I don't know if you can really, when we're talking about two yards or 2.5 yards, I don't know if we can really ascertain much out of that.
Yeah, it's not a huge amount, and maybe, yeah, the tournament schedule, if we're talking about on the PGA Tour specifically, maybe that with the conditions played a role. And so it's from 293.8-yard average heading into this weekend. That is a 2.3-yard drop. And then even if you look at some of the other tours, the PGA Tour champions there, the average distance average is down 8.8 yards. That one is the biggest drop of the tours, and that's the biggest drop like that since it was first tracked, I guess, back in 1988. But who knows? Yeah, right. I mean, who knows what all the factors are. And it's something maybe to continue to watch 5 years from now.
And the weather, the day that they were tracking could have been into the wind and down. You know, there's other factors that go into that. But
And then the LPGA Tour's up, though, right? Yeah. They're up 7 yards this year.
Yeah, the LPGA. Hey,
that's
Bill,
which is a lot, by the way.
Yeah, the Julie Inkster, who you know very well, who's the captain of their Solheim Cup coming up here in the next 3 or 4 weeks. She's got her decisions to make on who she's going to pick as her captain's pick.
Yeah, she does, and I don't know really how deep that pool is to pick from. You know, I hear the name Paula Kramer thrown out there, and boy, she hadn't played good in about 3 or 4 years. Yeah. You know, and so. Morgan Pressel made a wonderful run at the British Open, played beautifully there, and then I think missed the next couple cuts. So sometimes the captain, you know, Charlie, a couple months out might have the girls that they want to pick or the guys that they want to pick, and then those players start missing every cut leading up to the captain's pick. So it's kind of a difficult thing to figure it out. I think Tiger will have a much easier time trying to, maybe not easier, but he's going to have a much bigger talent pool to pick from, I think, than Julie will. I think Julie's going to have to make some very, very tough picks.
Well, since we brought up the LPGA Tour, I wasn't planning on bringing, but we'll bring it up right here. Do you see the 12-year-old making? We've talked a lot about young golfers and maybe the danger with starting so at such a young age in terms of on the tour. This year, or this weekend, I should say, another example here, 12-year-old Michelle Liu is making her debut this week. 12 years old.
12.
My goodness. That's just, that's nuts.
It's interesting. I don't even know what to think about it. good for her, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and I guess the defending champ, Brooke Henderson, at what, 14 years old, was able to have low Canadian honors when she was 14 years old or whatever. So that's how this individual was able to get into the field, is my understanding.
You know, and you track the young ladies that come out like that. You know, look at there's so many of them that early rotten. Michelle Wee is a perfect example that at the age of 30, she's done because of injuries. I mean, Bill, I don't think she could come back.
Well, and then you've got somebody who really, I think the most surprising is Lydia Ko. She was such a wonderful player, and boy, she's had about 5 different coaches and 10 different caddies and 5 different managers, and boy, I don't know. I don't understand all of that. You know, she was such a remarkable player. I just don't understand why they have to always have different coaches. And I don't know. I don't get all of it. I think one of the things that we see at times is the genius being coached out of some of these younger players. And I don't know. When you've already made number one and you're about 16, 17 years old, why do you need major changes in your swing? So I'm kind of on the side of leave them alone and let them play and let self-knowledge and experience become their mentor and guide. But I'm sure I'm probably in the minority of the modern-day teachers that think that way, which is fine.
You know, I've always been one, and we'll take Jordan Spieth, for example. I mean, this is a kid that had a run of golf that was just phenomenal from the age of 16 to, you know, 25, but he had a couple really bad setbacks when he lost the Masters that one Sunday, and you get some of that scar tissue, and it takes a while to recover from that. So, and they try to do it with swing rather than it's mental. You know, you got that mental thing going on.
Still got more to come here on this Saturday morning of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We'll see if either of you have used or seen this list of the 10 strangest golf products ever invented. Plus, Steph Curry, what is he doing around golf in the future?
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
So Charlie earlier said he just wants the PGA Tour, just the season to be over with. I don't know. You have big plans or something coming up? What else are you going to do on set? You're just going to sit back and watch college football or
no,
what?
No, I'm going to continue watching the Astros. I think that's great entertainment. And now the NFL's starting. I like to see the Texans. Always hoping that, you know, with what we got there, that can be halfway entertaining. And then, of course, the college football. So it's change the guard.
A little Florida Miami tonight.
Yes,
I don't know, Bill. We should have. If we dropped the ball, I guess we have time. We should have got the fantasy football league together. Are you a fantasy football guy?
I am not a fantasy football guy, but I'm a great football fan. I've never gotten into that for some reason. I don't really kind of like the FedEx Cup. I don't really understand it all. But I'm a avid wagerer on college football. In fact, I just noticed as we were on the show, I said, wait a minute, there's a couple games on.
That's right. Tonight.
This is opening day for college football. So I made a couple wagers as I was talking on this show.
I like it. Do you care to?
Took Miami getting 7.5 and Arizona giving 11 against Hawaii. Okay. So that's what I went with.
I like the under in the Florida-Miami game, Charlie.
Wow, yeah, you're into it. How about that?
Oh, we pay plenty of attention to it. May or may not put some money down on college football and the NFL. Now, okay, so I wanted to have some fun with this and see if you guys have ever come across or if an item or a product comes to mind where, you know, everybody's trying to find the next great thing in golf in terms of whether a driver, iron, or whatever it may be. In fact, I remember a couple weeks ago, Bill, and I think you said, I don't know if you can spill the details on it yet, but you were testing, I think, a new iron out even. This might have been a month ago or 3 weeks ago. And I came across this list golf.com actually put together, and the 10 strangest golf products that were ever invented. I don't know if you guys ever came across any of these. So let me just run through a few of them real quick. At number 10, it was the golf ball warmer. So it was a product that would, in cold weather, it was targeted for cold weather golf nerds, apparently. And it was a little container. You put the balls in, it would warm the golf balls.
I've done that.
You've done it?
I've done that.
How big of it, do you really need it?
Golfers are strange, and you play it, you know, 45-degree weather up in Toledo, Ohio. You're going to try to get something, you know. And you got the hand warmers, and you put the ball on the hand warmer and try to heat it up.
I think Charlie's right about that. I know when I caddied and it was cold, I always kept a couple balls in my pocket, and I kind of rubbed them and kept the golf balls warm. And I think that's a proven fact that if a ball or football gets frozen, it's hard to kick it as far. So,
sure.
So that's not that. It's not that unbelievable, really. Might not be a big product in the desert where I live.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this device that they had looked like a case for glasses, essentially, and you put these golf balls in there and it would warm them up. So I don't know if that product really caught on. I don't see a link to purchase it.
You got guys that are gadgets. You know, you look on their golf bag and they got everything: cigar holder. I mean, the whole nine yards.
A couple of these other ones. This the golf ball finding glasses. It's a tinted blue lens that promises to filter the foliage and grass to help the white golf ball stand out.
if they can have blowers on them and blow the leaves off the balls, you got more of a chance.
The blue tint apparently was gonna.
Hey, I tested some product yesterday, Charlie. You saw my stuff on Facebook.
Yeah,
didn't
you? Yeah, I sure did.
I went to a workshop called Mach 3 Speed, Clubhead Speed, and they had a lot of different training aids. And in two very short sessions of using these training aids, and documented my clubhead speed went up 5 miles per hour.
So I've got to get it.
Charlie knows.
I'm gonna do that. Yeah, yeah.
I only hit 13 balls total, Charlie. So I think I could have gotten a little more out of that, but I purchased a couple of them when I was there, and I want to be on my range at 7:30 this morning swinging these things, seeing if I can get some giddy up, because my distance roller coaster is moving very quickly downhill at the moment.
And it's like a whipping sensation, right? It's a whipping. You got a long rope, and you're whipping it back and forth?
Yeah, and there's a couple different ones, and you've got to project the speed way, way into your follow-through.
Uh-huh.
And there were a bunch of exercises that were good. No, I learned quite a bit, to be honest with you.
Well, excellent.
Well, so that's a very useful product, it sounds like. What about, let's see, number 7, I think it is, on this list, Toilet Golf, one of the other inventions. So it was the golf mat, putting mat that actually fit around the bowl of the toilet. So you could do a little putting while you were on the john, Charlie. Yeah, you ever have one of those?
No.
Okay,
I'm not going to get one either.
We'll get one for you if you want. The Flare Hair Visor. It was visors, but if you were bald, the idea is it would have some hair built into the visor while you're out on the golf course.
Yeah, they look so bad. I mean.
The Backpack Golf Bag from Sharper Image. It claimed to reduce stress on your muscles, joints, and ligaments. It doesn't look much different. I mean, it's a golf bag with a little extra bag coming out the top of it. This seems silly.
Silly.
Have you seen this? See the photo.
Yeah,
what's the point?
Yeah, okay. I don't know about that.
That's why it's a strange one.
I'm a golf cart man. I'm going to put my clubs in a golf cart.
All right. And then the golf barbecue set. And so it was club theme utensils. So the spatula was shaped like a driver. I can imagine Charlie being out on the grill with these.
Oh, cute. Now, come on.
We can get these for you.
No, you won't see those at a barbecue.
Nothing like that. Number 3, something called the Hammer X Driver. It claims to add 50 yards to your tee shot.
Yeah.
50.
50.
Okay.
Yeah.
The infomercial is worth a watch if you have it on YouTube. The high end, it was actually pretty funny. I watched it earlier. The hole-in-one golf hat. And essentially, it's a golf putting green on your head with, it looks like a Halloween costume or something. And then lastly, the Alien Wedge. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, that's been around. It's
well, that actually had some merit and has been copied, Charlie, wouldn't you say, many times over with the big flange bottom. So that really had a little bit of merit to it for the poorer player.
But the only thing that when I see a club like that in somebody's bag, I say, you know, what they really need is a bunker lesson.
I agree with all that, but some people, the bunker lessons don't help them either, and that club has helped them, I think. So that one's okay there, Alex.
All right, so that one's legitimate, it sounds like. All right, so those are just some of the products golf.com came up with listed out there of some of the stranger golf items. If you could invent, is there anything that you said, hey, if I could find a way to do this, I'd be rich, or someone needs to come up with this product. Is there something you would think of there, Charlie or Bill?
Well, I've tried to, you know, a few teaching aids, you know, to try to help people get the feeling of you know, like this thing that Bill tried this past week of you know, using a rope to whip back and forth to get more speed, which I think is the right way. And Bill's brother, who was my best friend, Dick, we went to a seminar with Bob Toski and Jim Flick over in Sea Island, Bill, and I've told this story far too many times, but I said to Dick, all a golf swing is you cracking the whip. Just crack the whip. Charlie, you are so wrong. You don't do that. So when I saw Billy cracking the whip yesterday under this thing, I said, hey, Dick, you see that? So
there you go. Well, it didn't make any difference what you said. Harmon was going to disagree with you, Charlie.
That's it.
See, all I'm doing on this show, Alex, is doing what Dick would have done if he were still with us. See, it was in Dick's will that I had to hassle Charlie. Yes.
That's right.
Charlie,
I think I've done a good job.
Keep me on the straight and narrow.
Absolutely.
I think I've done a good job, Charlie.
Good time. I wake up nervous this morning. Now, how is Bill going to embarrass me? but it's all
do a good enough job.
Okay, thank you. I was waiting for Bill to come in. If he wasn't, I was about to say something. I was waiting. You paused for a second.
You do a very good job of that, Charlie.
See, his brother Dick, he would always kid me. He said, Charlie, you wear your feelings on your sleeve, you little baby. Man up, man up, man up. He was good at that.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
Charlie, who do you like this weekend in the golf?
You know, I got to go with Koepka. Man, I mean, this guy is there. He makes some great putts for pars. It doesn't look like he's...
How about that iron shot he hit on the last hole yesterday?
Oh,
you see that?
Geez, I mean, incredible.
Boy.
Absolutely incredible.
Downhill lie. That's
he can get it out of that
about 8 feet from about 230 with a 5 iron.
Yeah,
wow.
That, I don't know how they do that. That rough is good rough, that Bermuda rough, and these guys take it and they get it high and hard. So Koepka's good. Although, you know, Justin Thomas really played good at Medina, Bill. It's hard to believe that they.
Yeah, look out for my man Shoffley. You know I'm always,
yeah,
I'm
right.
Always Shoffley, Alex.
He is he's 5-1. If you like him, he's 5-1 to win it right now. Justin Thomas 4-1, Rory 2-1, and then Koepka obviously
the
favorite.
That's a hard bet when you look at the three people ahead of him.
Yeah, those are some of the best. Some of the best for sure.
If he had Charlie and me ahead of him, maybe he'd be 5-1.
Don't you guys at least agree though that. I mean, Koepka, McIlroy, Thomas, or Shoffley, and I know it seems obvious because they're atop the leaderboard, but would you be surprised if a Paul Casey or somebody else were to sneak up and win this?
Yes, I would be surprised given the quality of those four players.
Yeah. And Rory, you know, he's won there before, but it was fun to and I just read it about Paul Casey. He had a 4 iron in the
wrong club.
Hit it over the green, and he looked down, and it was a 3 iron.
Just not paying attention? I saw that.
A faux pas.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is really, that is a error at the professional level that is borderline inexcusable because we're so used to looking at our clubs. I can tell every club. I would have picked up on it, Charlie, myself.
He pulled a 3 iron from his bag instead of the 4 iron.
At that, said that's not my 4 iron, that's my 3 iron. Yeah. So I think it was, it's just human error, but that's something I, at this level of play, and as particular as these guys are and detailed about equipment, that is really a very, very unusual mistake at this level, in my opinion.
Yeah. And where do you put, I mean, his cat, he didn't really even glare or anything at his caddy after it.
It's not his caddy's fault. He's the one who took the club out of the bag, you know.
Do you think, should his caddy have noticed at all or no? I mean, it's...
He could have, but
In most cases like that, you're right, Alex. Both the player and the caddy fall asleep momentarily, wouldn't you say, Charlie?
Yes.
Just something that you never really see on the tour.
I caddied for my daughter, Mimi, in the U.S. Amateur, and... I gave her a 3 wood instead of a 5 wood.
How did that turn out?
So happy to hear that. You can't believe it.
All right, we'll come back. Let's wrap things up here on this Saturday morning edition. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Just wanted to give a quick mention. We were talking college golf earlier in Texas, the number one team preseason heading into this upcoming year. And Howard University, I guess, hasn't had golf since the mid-70s. They dropped it, and I got to give some props to Steph Curry, whether you like him or not on the basketball court and all that, or you know, you have to give him some credit here. He's going to support the men's and women's golf teams at Howard University for the next 6 years, helping bring back golf. So him, along with Under Armour, going to contribute, you know, equipment and funds to make that possible. It's a really cool gesture by him.
Great story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree with that. He's a good player. He loves the game of golf, and I love to see people give back to the game. I think it's a fantastic story, and hats off to Stephen Curry.
Yeah, that's, you know, you think about the next 6 years, how long it takes to start up a program. I understand it's not football and you're not having those kind of numbers, but still to start up in you know, Division I golf program from scratch, essentially, since you haven't had this from the 70s, that's a work in progress.
It's a big difference in a lot of people's lives doing this.
Yes, sir.
Big difference.
All right, guys, we'll wrap things up. Any final thoughts for the weekend? So I think we're all in on, are we all with Koepka, or are you going Schauffele for the Tour Championship?
I'm going to just say Schauffele because I'm always touting him. And he's always finishing in the top five, it seems like, when I pick him. But maybe it's time for him. If you watch him, he's not intimidated, you know, Charlie?
Yeah, no, he's not. Not at all. He's got a little spunk. You know,
he does. Yeah. A little giddy up in his step.
Well, seeing you taking Koepka, I'm going to take Rory.
I was going to say, that's who I was going to win with.
I took Schauffele.
Yeah, he went with Schauffele.
Yeah, I know, but...
you said Koepka.
Alex is always taking Koepka. The front runner.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, I mean, hey, it's worked out at times throughout the...
Charlie, you almost made it through the show without the snafu there.
I love you, Billy Harmon.
Hey, in honor of the FedEx, Alex, he's like FedEx, baby. Always delivers.
There you go. This is true. And he got it in just in the nick of time. That is for sure. All right, guys. Great to be back on with both of you. We'll do it again next Saturday. We'll recap the 2018 and 2019 season.
See ya.
All right. Thanks to Ron Culver producing the show Across the Glass as well. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning right here on SB Nation Radio.